You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis. Stay tuned.
The turns of your life, the
And you are listening to Heart of Mind, Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and we heard a little set of music opening up with Frog Dancing by David Anthony Clark, and Can't Find My Way Back Home by Blind Faith, and our theme song, Come to the River by Diane Reeves. And today's program is an open dialogue contemplation about the state we are in our world today. I happen to be a news junkie, so I listen to a lot of what's going on in the world. And in some ways, I'm motivated by that because I can feel what's going on in the world. I have a certain kind of sensitivity that has an impact into my field when something is going on. It's sort of like in Star Wars, a disturbance in the Force. And I feel that. So I kind of always have, even growing up, if there was some disaster, some earthquake or some plane crash or something that happened, I would feel it first. And then I'd go to the news to search out what it was that I might be feeling, because I couldn't necessarily discern what it was. I just knew that some impact had happened. And so on a normal basis, you know, it seems kind of normal and didn't present itself as a personal problem. I could see what happened and I would move on. What can you do? But when we started entering into, or at least in my lifetime, into the era of war, it became a more sustaining problem. And so I can somehow feel this energy of suffering, pain, conflict as it takes place. And over these years, I've developed certain kinds of practices that help me to dissipate those energies. I don't necessarily want to lose it or run from it. It's just part of my makeup. But when we get to, I think, a state, we've gotten to such a state of extreme crisis, at least for my lifetime, that I'm beginning to wonder if we are not already in World War III, such as we can see it happening in so many points within the world. And as part of this conflict of warfare that's taking place, there's also the conflict and the issues of health and people being in conflict over the status of the virus as it manifests over and over again in different stages, and how people are responding to the way the states in different countries are handling it and the amount of distress. And also the kind of just common behavior that emanates from individual human beings in terms of the hostility that is being spewed out against each other over the social media landscape. So there seems to be a great deal of internal and external conflict occurring at the same time. And there seems to be many opponents from different vantage points. You know, there's the health and the healthcare system that doesn't function very well, and the food systems that are largely poisoned as it is, and then we have the threatened impact of food shortages. There's just so much going on that if one were to take it all in, it would be easy to become overwhelmed and paralyzed by these situations, not knowing quite what to do, because the impacts seem to be increasing in speed and magnitude as it happens throughout the world. And even though many don't quite understand the level of interconnectivity we have as a human species, there is a real great, an enormous interconnectivity. And we are raised and conditioned in such a way to minimize those connections, to think that someone being harmed on the other side of the world, or even just on the other side of the street, that there's going to be some impact with our own inner sense of well-being. So I think that the magnitude has risen to such a level that one has to be very, very proactive in maintaining a sense of balance. Sometimes it's difficult to find a sense of peace without suppression, but there may be times when we want to do that as well in order to be able to sustain our own balance. But truth be told, one of the things that we can do is to begin to use our tools that will enable us to navigate internally the kind of assaults that we are experiencing as a result of so much chaos going on in our world. And I sometimes wonder if that isn't the point of all this chaos, the destruction that's taking place in the planet, and the planet finding itself out of balance, is an exaggeration of what's going on. But there's some ways in which the planetary body is going through a natural transition, as it has over the millennia. We just happen to be peopled on it at this time. And we have government and structures of economics and energy that are exacerbating those issues rather than finding ways to deal with it. And so, and the same is true of our own existence on the planet. At a time where on a more cosmic level, we could be peacefully transitioning into a more expanded awareness and capacity as beings, we are receiving an onslaught of negativity and conflict and sort of a systematic programming, mental programming, and interference with our natural systems. Some people panic with 5G interfering with the systems. Some people panic over vaccines interfering with our systems. Some people panic over foods interfering with our systems. I don't really think we need to panic. Even the panic is buying into the program. I'm convinced that we have sufficient capacity to move beyond a lot of the things that we are being presented with at this time. And the greatest danger we face is submitting to the narratives and the programming that would convince us that we are powerless as human beings. And I don't believe that to be the case at all. Though we do have to be warriors on the level of spirit and mind, soul and body, we can't slack off and not take care of ourselves physically and all these other levels of being. And we have to be proactive in the world in ways that we can. So, you know, some people are squirreling away cash because they're afraid the banks will fall. Some people are growing food because they are concerned that the supply chains will fail. Some people are hoarding weapons because they feel like there's an apocalypse attack going to happen and people are going to be fighting each other. Well, all these things are possibilities. If we invest our energies into it, it means that we are contributing to the manifestation of those awful outcomes. So the balance that has to be made is to understand, just as we're witnessing chaos, that chaos can be exacerbated, and we might find ourselves in the middle of some kind of challenging situation. So we need that bearing on that aspect of reality. But on the other side of that, we have to walk with courage and be willing to understand that stuff might happen and all kinds of stuff might hit the fan. I mean, I'm sure that there were people in across the board, whether it's Syria, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's Iraq, people were walking around thinking the world was fine, and then the ceiling fell in on them. The ground erupted below them. The tsunami rolled in, and none of us are immune. So I think the balancing is to understand we're not immune to these possibilities, but to find peace within our own spirit and soul, to the extent that if the time has come, and it is our time, that we can exit this plane with a sense of our core strength and knowledge of being, and being intact on all these levels. So I feel that we have to live in that way so that we can remain whole and in alignment with our true being, connecting to the more expansive cosmic self-awareness, being rooted in the true earth awareness, so that we can have much greater systems with which to navigate in the first place, but to not become trapped either in this world or in worlds beyond. So this may be a little esoteric for some of you. I see a call coming in. I'm going to take a chance. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Catherine, it's Russ.
Yes, how are you?
I'm all right, and I'll try not to do any pounding, right? I also have that disturbance in the force. They used to call it feminine intuition, but I consider that gender stereotyping. But what I want to ask you, have you heard about the Philadelphia mask issue, where they were going to institute the mask again?
I haven't, no, I haven't heard that.
Okay, well, they were going to reinstitute the mask down in Philadelphia. There's a board of health that said, we don't care what the federal CDC says. We think the mask is necessary because we're seeing an uptake, right? So what I want to ask you is, the people were proactive, and they took this Philadelphia board of health to court, and they are not going to have that mask issue. So I want to ask you, you know, you say you dissipate your energies in a certain way, and I think we're both baby boomers, and I think that's what happened to us. Your reaction to this anxiety is to dissipate the energy. We've had big pharma medicating us. Your navigation tools to dealing with conflict, I mean, it's kind of led to this situation. You're right. We've got World War III. You know, we're funding the Ukrainian government. Did you see that?
Yeah, I know. And the media is very biased with regard to what's happening in that conflict. So I'm well aware of that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And when you say panic, we have panic with the virus, panic with a war. We have panic with Donald Trump, okay? And they've used Donald Trump to exercise thought control and indoctrination over us. This is not a democracy we're in. We've got mental programming. You and I agree on a lot of things. But, you know, people on BA call me, you know, all sorts of clown. I'm a clown. I shouldn't be let on. I mean, people on BA should understand there's a diversity of opinion out there, and if you don't hear it, it's going to come and slam us all in the back. The Democrat Party's going the way of the Whigs. But thanks, Catherine, for letting me say that, and I'll try getting on to the fundraising. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm inclined to agree. There was a time when alternative voices were celebrated on WBAI, and I think it's a great tragedy that we're falling into the cancel culture in some ways. And we need to strive against that. We have another call. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning, Catherine. I, as always, you know, I thoroughly enjoy your program.
Thank you.
You're quite exceptional. The thing that I like most about you is that you do try to get the voice of a listener. And as for Russell, I think you're cool. You know, I like your train of thought. This is what, you know, WBAI should be about, exchange of ideas and thoughts. And I have a great appreciation for it, both you as a producer, and I also love to hear what the listeners have to say. It mix it up a little bit. I will say something, too, like all of us, we're going to really have to think about the resolve. You know, I know that we have a tendency to focus 90% on the problem and 10% on the solution, if not less. But we are so familiar with the problem. We know what the problem is. I think that we should spend a lot of time thinking and doing what comes to mind to resolve the situation, you know. So my thing right now is expressing myself, having my voice heard, and even to the point where it becomes somewhat exhausting. But I have found that dialogue is the key to resolving pretty much everything. Dialogue and then action, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So a beautiful day. Everybody enjoy it, and please let's get busy on the resolve.
Thank you. Do you want to offer something, something people can do to resolve?
Yes. You know, as I said before, I've been using my voice and dialoguing with people who normally I would not dialogue. I have a couple of political representatives that I have, I like what they've done thus far. And I'm going to start to communicate with them and specifically ask them, what do you need from me as a constituent in order to empower what you are doing? Because I agree with, I like a lot of what Jamani Williams is speaking about when it comes to correcting the tax, you know, table, so that we can get some of the funds back from the wealthy and can be utilized for the general public. If you like that idea, then you should be contacting him and seeing what you as an individual can do to assist him. The same thing goes with the radio station, anything else. If somebody's doing an excellent job, dry cleaner, customer service rep, and you know it and you love it, you know, support them and fortify their effort, because this is how we're going to get to change the environment. And, of course, it always starts with you first, like, you know, bring your best to the table, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes from there.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Everything's based on cause and effect. Right,
yeah,
thank you.
You're so right about that, Denise. I really agree with that. And, you know, staying in balance, sometimes doing the appropriate thing is the best way to do that, by not being cowered against what the challenge may be, but to stand and resolve for what is a positive course of action. Hello, you're on the air.
Greetings. Give me 3 seconds to turn the radio down in the
And you are listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org.
Around.
So start again. I had tuned you down.
Am I on the air?
You're on the air right now.
Okay, thank you. And greetings to the beloved family, such as we are. Man in the mirror. I also love your program because you stay connected and to the listener, the member, the public. That is so key. That is so important. And I have a couple thoughts. I missed a few minutes of your beginning, but I think I got the gist of it. And I heard Denise. And I want to say around dialogue, I think we need to really drill down and into what that means, because I don't see in our community, everybody's more obsessed with email and text than actually hearing people's voices. And that goes across the board, whether with producers. There's so much in a voice. And I'd like a suggestion in terms of a music suggestion. I know when we together initially at BAI discovered Diane Reeves, I think you would love, Catherine, young artist, spoken word, poet, playwright, novelist. Her name is K-A-E Tempest, as in the storm. And she gives me a lot of hope from sinking into almost a type of despair that you were speaking of in terms of how we process the world these days, such a crazy world, even a mass psychosis world, and of course the rise of totalitarian. But I accidentally discovered Kay under New Sounds. I'm usually listening to the PBS News at 11 p.m. a lot of times, and something made me stay on NPR and hear New Sounds, and I became introduced to her. Catherine, when you get a chance, there's not much time now, but listen to Salt Coast, listen to People's Faces, where she inspires me about how much peace she sees and gets from people's faces, and Hold Your Own. My last comment has to deal with those of us, and I think you would be in that category, and quite a few of us, we're empaths, E-M-P-A-T-H-S, and by being empaths, we are particularly wrought, sometimes in all kinds of states, because as you explain, you feel something happening before it happens. I just like to suggest that I notice in the Inner Traditions catalog, I'm going to be looking into a 300-page book. I love books, how I approach a lot of things, and it's called Evolutionary Empath, and she helps us, it would seem, to deal with being a sensitive and empath and processing this crazy mass psychosis world. And that's my comment, and thank you so much.
Thank you for your call. Bye-bye now. And interestingly, I looked up this artist on YouTube. I don't see that particular piece of music, but if I can play a little something from her, I will. Hopefully, it's something that can be played on the air. I'm taking a risk. Oops. Diane Reeves is still playing. Let's see.
I know nothing. I used to think things were so clear. I was so near to nowhere. I could feel everything in me pushing for certain. Certains are flimsy. Rock solid ground beneath me now tells me there's no ground at all. More pressure, more release. Your eyes, your cheeks, your features crease. More desire, less deceit. Less complex, more complete. Less push, more flow. Please, let me let go. Get it all out of you, let it surprise you. I was in a party face, mostly eyeballs. Chin deep in a bag of white lies, saying I'm sick and tired of my own advice. I see it now, so perfect, but so hard to put into practice. One step forwards, two steps backwards. One soul's epiphanies, another soul's madness. I saw the truth in the curls of the vanishing girl. Hands like cobwebs dangling. Eyes like deep sea dives. She said, stop worrying, man, stop panicking. Karma. Clearer, closer, nearer. More grounded, more rooted. Less convoluted. More stillness, more movement. More existence, less improvement. More decisions, less solutions. Less inhibition, less confusion. More intuition, more connection. More nature, more protection. More abundance, more reflection. Less instruction, more comprehension. More pressure, more release, more relief. More belief. More distance, more reach. The truth is, I don't know, it's so deep. More pressure, more release. More relief, more belief. Less push, more flow. Please, let me let go.
K-A-E, Tempest, T-E-M-P-E-S-T, More Pressure, featuring Kevin Abstract. And you could find this on Vivo or on YouTube. I love it. Thank you for the recommendation. And if anyone else would like to call in, the number here is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. You know, it's old school when people call. You don't have to give out the number. They know it by heart. So for those of you who don't have the number on the tip of your tongue, it's 212-209-2877. And I do like to weave programs that is an open voice to those of you who listen to WBAI. We are interested in what you have to say. Last week, I did a program on Earth Day. Apparently, the stream was down, so many missed it, sadly. And the week before that, I did a program on green medicine with Pika Trenkel. So we do have features coming in, and we want to bring you healers and different modes of organizing your life and how to access all that's available to us that's good. I also want to hear from you. And so I intersperse somewhere between preemptions and fund drives and interviews an opportunity for our listeners to call in. 212-209-2877. And you can feel free to give that call if you choose. So I've been playing some music following a theme of, in many ways, self-empowerment, building our own traveling path based on the tools that we have and can gain access to, and the strategies that we can build into our life to be whole. And one of the things, really, is to even recognize that we're having a problem. I have a lot of difficulty with that because I tend to be calm. I don't get hysterical over things. But I can get so calm that I become detached from my connections. I can become detached from my friends. I can become detached from my work. And it becomes more difficult for me to engage. And there's a part of me that wants to barricade and that wants to isolate. And so over these last months of isolation, for me, it was actually quite comfortable because there's a part of me that enjoys that isolation. But where I have found the difficulty is coming back into the surface and engaging in a real world way. I'm still teaching my classes on Zoom, mostly because it seems to be working well. But it's difficult for me to reengage in the process of living within the world, at least the world of people, because I don't have any difficulty with nature. I could go into the park, but engaging with people, I'm still having some challenge. Hello, you're on the air. Are you there? Oh, I guess I missed you. Please call back. Let's see if we can try again. Hello, you're on the air. Are you there? Speak up if you are. No, apparently not. So that number again is 212-209-2877. So I think part of it is because of this porous vulnerability that I have, which is, you know, we've been speaking about, where you can feel and experience another person's struggle or pain or challenge or desire. I find that I need to build protections around myself. And I think that's why I thrive with the energy healing and the energy medicine, because through that building of that field or aura around you, there's a lot more of a energetic protection that can prevent a lot of the energies that are bouncing around the cosmos, the world, within our lives, from penetrating too deep and unsettling my naturally calm nature. So I tend to be a little bit of I kind of hide. I'm a little bit of a scaredy cat with all that. But I'm breaking out of it with the energy healing that I engage in my own meditation, connecting to actual energetic forces and building my field. It's a very real tool. Some people work with yoga. Some people work with chanting. I do Qigong, which is a little bit of a mingling of both. And these are tools that we can use to not only keep us more better fortified against some of the energetic forces such as 5G or other kinds of penetrating electronics that come through the air. It can also fortify us against pathogens. I'm not saying it's a cure, but it fortifies that energy field to help sustain one's health. And it also helps to open up the fields within, so that the energy and the consciousness can flow. And it allows us to clear it, which is even more important. I see some calls coming in. I'm going to play a bit of music, and then I will collect those calls. Stay tuned.
This is the time for reason. Be proud as any man. You're ancient as the land you roam. Keep worshiping the sun. And no one has a hold on you while freedom knows your name.
Hello, you're on the air, our first caller.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Yeah, I just had a question about programming on the station.
Yeah, if I can answer it, I will.
Yeah, for many years, there was a program that came on Wednesday morning at 9 called Guns and Butter with Buddy Faulkner, which I found very informative and very enlightening. And then all of a sudden, you know, it stopped coming on the air.
Yeah, I had heard that was due to Bonnie Faulkner's decision. I don't know what's going on with her, but I believe the door is open for her to come back when she's ready.
Yeah, it's, you know, and you know, when things like that happen, you know, I don't think that, you know, you guys do a good enough job of informing listeners as to what happens and, you know, and why. You know, all of a sudden I'm listening to this COVID show with Rachel Hu, and although it's not a bad show, you know, it still doesn't do for me what Guns N' Butter used to do. So, you know, I hope that sometime in the future that Guns N' Butter will reappear on the programming schedule.
I do,
and
too.
Also, you know, like I'm sure I'm not speaking for myself only, but, you know, sometimes, you know, I hear Christine Blasiel on the station like 3 or 4 times per day, and it is too much. You know, I don't know how much money that you guys can, you know, how much blood you can squeeze out of a stone, but I swear if I hear that Bret Michael Phillips story one more time, I may hang myself.
No, please don't do that. Okay, thank you.
It's too much. Somebody's got to get through to Linda Perry and tell her to stop it.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to go to our next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Davis. This is Vincent from Plainfield. And I was calling, originally had intended just to listen because I find your programs and your energy that you, you know, send out to be so peaceful and tranquil for me. And that I felt that I shouldn't, you know, interrupt anything and just listen to the callers. But I will say that I look forward to just the opportunity to, you know, find myself in this space and listening to you. And also to say that I can relate to what not the last caller, but the caller before that, as well as Denise before her. And I listened to the other caller as well. I relate to the impact in terms of, you know, a certain people. And I consider that you're one of them. I also consider myself as one that can, you know, feel things and understand and know things about people and situations that sometimes I would want to jump in, I guess, and try to get involved and say something that I think is going to be helpful or useful to the population of the world that can hear me and that can hear you. And other times I just spend, you know, sometimes all night thinking about, you know, what's going to go on in the future. I'm a parent. I'm a grandparent, and I look forward to and see ahead in terms of what I may have to do on behalf of my grandchildren or to be the model that may give them something that they might not get from anyone else. And, you know, I just am hopeful that I can achieve for them, you know, what I think that they'll need to go on in a world that seems to be very tumultuous at times and also, you know, sometimes very hopeful and, you know, something that is worth living for and getting involved in things to, you know, set things right. So I thank you once again. And, you know, when it comes time to anything else, I would like to say this. I've always been the one that I look to find friends. I know what it's like to be a friend, and I look to find friends. And I've been fortunate over the last few days especially to just, you know, be in the right place at the right time to be seen by people who I would consider adding to my list of friends, even if they might not think so. But, you know, that's, you know, what I like to say, and I want to thank you once again. Oh, yes, the young lady that on YouTube, you, the name was Kay...
Tempest. And she spells it KAETEMPEST. Mm-hmm. Very, very beautiful music and conscious.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, and my first time hearing it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hello, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just had tuned in when you mentioned 5G, so I wanted to ask if you're familiar with with an article that with evidence basically for 5G interacting with our health. If you don't mind, the article is called "Evidence for a Connection Between Coronavirus Disease 19 and Exposure to Radio Frequency Radiation from Wireless Communications, Including 5G," by Beverly Rubik, R-U-B-I-K, and Robert R. Brown. That was published online September 29th, 2021, in the Journal of Clinical and Translational Research.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with this peer-reviewed scientific evidence of this?
I've seen a lot of it. I think that it's very difficult to combat the economics of this communication system with the health risk. So, and it's almost impossible to avoid. So that's why I was speaking about needing to be conscious of fortifying our health in the face of it. But if you could, I'll look for it, but if you could send a link to me, I'll read the whole thing. And so if you would send it to my email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. I could also make it available to anyone who wants to link.
Yeah, I'll put it on my blog also, lumpenproletariat.org or lumpen.org. L-U-M as in Mary, P-E-N as in Nancy, .org.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, we have one caller, looks like, coming in. Let's see. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Are you there? There seems to be an issue. So, unfortunately, I didn't catch that caller. So, we don't have any holding on at this moment. So, if you want to try again, the number is 212-209-2877. Are you there? Hello? No. All right. So, yeah, so I think that this is really important, and to understand that I really like these calls. They're very encouraging because none of us is a monolith. No one is above another human being. No one is more capable than anyone else. We all have strengths that differentiates us. Some are good at this, others are good at that. Okay, I see some calls coming in. I'm going to try to catch them. Hold on. We have little time, but we'll give it a shot.
Quit doing time for me. Or are you still the same spoiled child? Hello, I said hello. Is this the only place you thought to go? Am I the only man you ever had? Or am I just the last surviving friend that you know?
Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, Miss Davis. You've been a blessing to me today. Your calm spirit, your ability to really calm down in the midst of all this chaos, plus the personal chaos that we sometimes live through. I thank you for being there. And I hear you that, in a way, kind of you cross through many different systems and beliefs and all. I don't even know how to put it, that I was raised as a Catholic, and I kind of moved away from there, but not totally the Christian part of it. And somehow I was introduced to African, actually Yoruba, you know, the pantheon and things and whatnot. And even though it's kind of, I understand the greatness of it, sometimes I get very spooked because I hear from other people, oh, those are demons, they're demonic, they're this. And I don't even know how to deal with that feeling. Is it wrong? Is it whatnot? How?
I felt that way. Yeah, I felt that way. I was born into the Catholic faith, but I left actually when I was about 9. And part of that is because I have always felt a direct connection. When I was very, very little, in my perception, I was playing with angels. You know, imaginary friends, mm-hmm. or were they real? I don't know. But I used to have my own communication to the divine world, talking to Jesus, talking to God, whomever I wanted to. I felt it was natural. Then when I got into the education of the Catholic Church, there was this imposition of authority that took away my natural impulse to be connected to the spirit and the natural world. And it was very traumatic for me, and I ultimately rejected it and refused to go back to church. And my mother made a bargain with me that if I stayed in as far as confirmation, one of these rituals, she wouldn't force me to go. So I stayed long enough to be confirmed and never went back. So I think that we need to trust ourselves and understand that these churches have a long history of colonization, of programming, of control, and of exploitation. Now, I'm not saying the individual nuns or priests or preachers are bad.
It's the history. It's
but the history and the system and the rewriting of the scriptures and the stealing of the scriptures. This stuff, it wasn't created in Greece and Rome. It far predated it. So mm-hmm. I think it would be safe, in my opinion, to open up to the natural traditions of my culture and understand that a lot of this fear comes from the imposition of fear-mongering and control-based programming and exploitation. So remember, the Christian Church, the Pope issued, I forget it, was it one of these papal bulls that said it was fine to kill, destroy, and enslave anyone that wasn't allegedly a Christian.
Yeah, well, actually, for thousands of years they did.
So I think
they began in the 11th century to kill until probably the beginning of the 20th century that it was okay.
Yeah, and so I would say begin to breathe in, allow the logic to breathe the truth into your spirit, and then from within your spirit, reach down into connecting to your ancestors, to your parents, your grandparents, mm-hmm. your great-grandparents, and down the line, ultimately, you will connect to the true spirit of your culture. I have one more call I'm going to try to sneak in. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you, and please, I will search you. Are you on Fridays? Is that what it is?
Fridays at 11 a.m., Heart of Mind.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Thank you.
Hi, you're on the air. Sorry to bring you so close to the edge. Please speak. Hello.
Okay, this is Elle from Long Island. You know, I have been introduced to the Internet, and in searching, I came across a program by a Dr. Kabah. Let me get it right now. Kabah Khamenei. And he speaks of spirituality and religion. Spirituality before religion. And I found him extremely, extremely informative. And I think that, you know, I didn't mean to speak on this, but since the previous caller stated her, her subject matter, I thought that I would introduce that. But what I want to speak on is on Sunday morning at 5 a.m., there was a gentleman, I believe it's Greg Brady.
Yeah, I love that guy's show.
5 a.m. in the morning. He was on for maybe almost 2 months, and then he disappeared. And his show was so informative, information that was right on the spot. And I find that in listening to BAI now, I don't get the opportunity to hear things that are relevant. For example, J. Edgar Hoover, it's been noted that he is black.
Yeah, there's so much we could get into, but I have to go and do the news, and I want everyone to stay tuned to Gary Noll.
Thank you for giving me the time, and keep up your good work.
Thank you very much. You take care. And
WPFW in Washington, and WBAI New York. I'm Chris Bangert Drowns with some brief news headlines. Philadelphia announced an end to its indoor mask mandate last night, just days after it was reinstated. The city's Board of Health cited decreasing hospitalizations and a leveling off of new infections, but the move also comes after the city faced fierce blowback and a legal challenge to the reinstated mandate. The decision to end the mandate came after the Board of Health met in private to discuss the lawsuit. It also appears that compliance with the mandate was low. Most states and local governments dropped masking rules in February and March, following updated CDC guidance that focused more on hospital capacity than caseloads. The average number of new U.S. coronavirus cases remained above 43,000 today, still well below the record peak reached during the recent winter Omicron surge. The case rate nationally has increased by more than 50% over the last 2 weeks, though daily deaths continue to fall and hospitalizations remain flat. The northeastern U.S., led by Vermont, is seeing the largest per capita case rate increase of any region. New York City is averaging over 2,400 new cases each day, according to the New York Times, while Washington, D.C. is reporting above 200 new daily cases, roughly the same per capita infection rate as New York. Hospitalizations have begun to climb in states including New York, Connecticut, and Massachusetts, where the case rate is growing. Vaccination continues to be an effective antivirus tool, as per capita case rates are twice as high among the unvaccinated compared to fully vaccinated people. Per capita death rates are 10 times higher for the unvaccinated. Israeli riot police this morning stormed a compound containing the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem after a group of Palestinian youth threw stones at a gate. The Palestinian Red Crescent said at least 31 Palestinians were wounded, including 14 who required hospitalization. Following midday prayers, which some 150,000 worshippers attended, the AP says a drone dropped tear gas on crowds. The compound is a holy site for both Muslims who worship at Al-Aqsa and Jews who refer to it as Temple Mount. Last year, similar protests and violence by police in Jerusalem led to an 11-day Israeli assault on the Gaza Strip and a string of civil conflict in Israeli cities. Three rockets have been fired from Gaza into Israel since last week. Newly released satellite images appear to show scores of freshly dug mass graves in a town near the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol. Ukrainian officials say the images could be evidence of Russia burying thousands of civilians as it solidifies its control along Ukraine's southeast coastline. The Kremlin has yet to respond to the latest images, but in response to previous discoveries of mass graves, it has denied killing civilians and instead accused Ukraine of staging scenes of atrocities. Russia reiterated today that a second phase of its invasion is underway, during